Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen? There is freedom. It doesn't mean that you have freedom to do whatever you want. It doesn't mean you have freedom to sin. Amen? It doesn't mean you have freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you're free from the bondages of the evil one. Does everybody get it? Not to become under authority of the evil one, but to become under the authority of the freedom fighter on your behalf. Amen? So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Bible even tells us, listen, man, we're not to be taking this out of context in the area where you can just do whatever you feel like doing. Amen? So in this, I want to talk tonight about the ministry of grace and get a full understanding about ministry of grace. In the ministry of grace, it's probably one of the most important ministries in the beginning. Now, there's three types of ministries. There's a ministry that we talk of grace, there's a ministry of priests, and there's a ministry of kings. Does everybody get it? But, you know, when somebody first becomes a believer in the ministry of grace, it's so important. It's so sensitive. It can actually affect an individual's walk in a long period of time. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. So in this part of the ministry of grace, there's a sensitive area where we must be totally led by the Spirit of God. In fact, grace is a representation of the Spirit of God, isn't it? Now, would you turn to John 14, please? John 14. Starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And I really want you to highlight that right now. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. In other words, Jesus is saying, you know the direction. Does everybody understand that? Now, let's go to the next verse. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how we know the way. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. So understand that Jesus is saying this. He's saying, listen, I am the way. In other words, I am the direction. Now, we call this the way, truth, and life is a representation of the three chambers of the tabernacle of God. And the way represents the cross. Amen. The truth represents the word. And life represents the spirit. Amen. So, in the tabernacle, you have the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Amen. So in this, I want you to look at when Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. You know what? There is a direction to get to the most holy place, isn't there? You can't just go into the most holy place, can you? He says, there's a way to get to the most holy place. So I want you to look at this. When Jesus said, I am the way, in other words, I am the direction. I'm going to direct you in how to get there. What's he trying to do? He's trying to lead everybody to the Father. Because he said, no one comes to the Father except for through me. Why? Because he is the only way. In other words, he is the only direction to the Father. There is no other direction than what he directs you. None. So, the way is a direction, right? And he says, and I am the truth, and I am the what? Life. Now, we know that this is associated with three anointings also. Amen. Which is the anointing, grace is in the ministry of grace, is the anointing of salvation, and then there's the priests and the kings, and we talked about the three chambers. So I just want you to get the understanding. When Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and what he's saying, there's no way that anybody can get to the Father, no way, without the direction that I give him. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Ooh. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. That's in the heavenlies, right? The Father, who is the head, the Word, and the Spirit, right? And then it says, and these three are one. And then there are three that bear witness on the earth, which means natural realm. And the first one is the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit is what makes connection to the spiritual realm. Does everybody get it? That's why if you were to write these down from top to bottom, you'd write Father, Word, Spirit. Then it would start, and that's the Spirit realm. And then it would go Spirit. What's the next one? Water, and then blood, and that is the tabernacle, isn't it? Because the blood represents the sacrifice, the water represents the Word, the truth, and then you have the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? So you have the tabernacle in heaven and the tabernacle on earth, and what connects both of them is the Spirit. Does everybody got it? Oh, cool. So they agree as one, right? To become, now listen, these had to agree as one in the natural realm so that the Christ could be formed. Does everybody get it? Because Jesus was the Christ, wasn't he? Amen? So we see that they agree as one to become the Christ, the anointed one in his anointing. In other words, Jesus said that he would build his church on the anointing of Christ, didn't he? So the Christ had to come, but the Christ himself was just encased in a body we call the Word. Amen? But within him was the Spirit of God, or what we call the Spirit of Christ. Amen? Okay. So we see that the Christ had to come. Everything was going to be built by the Spirit of Christ. So everybody got that? Okay, good. So go to Matthew 16. Now, we want to go back to the area and try and get a deeper understanding of the ministry of grace. But first, I have to lay some kind of foundations here so we can really grab hold of this. Matthew 16 and verse 13. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Amen? Who do you say that I am? Now he wants to know if you know personally who he is. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ," meaning the anointed one in his anointing, "the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." In other words, on this rock I will build my church. The rock represents the Spirit of Christ. Does everybody get it? Because the church is going to be built by the Spirit of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and start at verse 1. Let's read it together. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Does everybody see that? Okay, and Jesus said, "I will build my church on the Spirit of Christ." I don't want anyone to lose this, because that is the importance and the essence of the ministry of grace. That Jesus would build his church on the Spirit of Christ. Is everybody with me? John chapter 1 and verse 14. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Now, what was he full of? Grace and truth. Don't lose that. Highlight it. It says that John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Now you got to understand that Jesus, the Word of God, came from the bosom of the Father. Father said, "Listen, I'm going to earth." The Bible says that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, right? They're one. So if the Spirit comes to earth, who else comes? The Father and the Word. Does everybody get it? So God the Father, out of his bosom, said, "I'm going to earth." And he pulled out of himself and called himself Son and sent him to the earth. And in the Christ, the Spirit of Christ is everything that the Father is in the fullness of it. Everything. Has everybody got it? Good. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if we begin to look at this, because he says, and it was full of grace and truth, the makeup of the Christ, I want you to understand this, the makeup of the Christ was grace and truth. He was covered with the Word, but he was coming in the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of grace. That is the whole makeup of the Christ. So the makeup of Christ was three, right? He said, and they all agree on earth. But I want you to understand that the makeup of the Christ was the Word that became flesh, full of grace and truth. Matthew 17 and verse 1. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The way was direction, wasn't it? Amen? Now, we talked about in the tabernacle of God, the way represented the cross, the truth represents the Word, and the life represents the Spirit. The way represents the cross, which is the outer courts. The truth represents the Word, which is the holy place. And the life represents the Spirit, which is the most holy place. So you see that there's three chambers of the tabernacle, right? I'm sharing that with you because what we're about to talk about is going to reflect certain things here. Now look at, it says, now after, in verse 1, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, and he was talking with him. Now listen, I want you to understand something. Moses here now represents the truth, because he was given the law, wasn't he? And Elijah represents the grace. Okay? See, you got to remember something. The makeup of the Christ was the Word, the truth, and the grace. Has everybody got it? So in this, we see that Moses had to show up and Elijah also had to show up. And we know that there's multiple meanings of this, because Moses was a representation of the truth of the law and Elijah was a representation of the grace of the Spirit. Malachi 4:4. Let's read this together, because this is going to blend together. You're going to find that dots are going to start to connect. Remember the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses. Remember we talked about Moses showed up representing the what? Truth. My servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you who? Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. Now watch what he's going to do. Now, we just talked about Elijah representing the what? Grace. Spirit of grace, right? Moses representing the spirit of truth. Okay. And look at verse 6. And he will what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Why? Because the ministry of grace is a representation of the ministry of reconciliation. Does everybody get it? It's about reconciling, isn't it? All of the ministry of grace is a representation of reconciliation to who? The Father. Has everybody got it? Good. Oh, hallelujah. Now, because grace was what? Turning the people back to the Father. Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 7. Let's read it together. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, or this is known as their spirit, and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, I want you to understand something. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He said, I will write my laws in their spirit. In other words, in their mind. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the one that wrote the Word. See, so that's why the Bible tells us that you have the anointing and you know all things. Why? Because within you is the living Word of God before you even read it. Does everybody get it? He says, now we'll write these laws in your mind. Or in the Hebrew language, there is no such thing as mind. It's called spirit. In your spirit. And write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now watch this. And none of them shall teach his neighbor. None his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Has that happened? Yes. So when you get filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you ask Jesus for forgiveness, he's talking about the ministry of grace here. Everybody got it? Why? Because you get a new covenant. When you come to Jesus, you're no longer under the old covenant bound by the letter of the Ten Commandments, because the world is going to be judged by the Ten Commandments. Does everybody understand that? But you and I will not be judged by the Ten Commandments. We'll be judged by works. Whether it's done according to the will of God or not. Those things that were done by the will of God will stand. Those things that weren't done by the will of God will burn. Amen? So see here, and he says, and then I won't hold them. I will forget their sins. I will not remember them anymore. So we know that he's talking about that right now. Has everybody got it? And it says in that, he says, a new covenant he has made in the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Does everybody see this now? So we see here that the laws in the mind or the heart were coming with Christ. Jesus came fulfilling the law. Amen? So everything that says the Word became what? Flesh. So the Spirit of Christ now that dwells in you has brought a new covenant, has brought the Word of God, has brought the truth, and allowed the ministry of grace. Does everybody understand this? Now, the laws in the mind or in the heart coming with Christ Jesus Because Jesus came to fulfill the law so a union could come out of his sacrifice and requirements of the old law. Fulfilled in grace and manifesting in the ministry of reconciliation. Does everybody understand what I just said? I'll try and figure it out myself. Hold on a minute. Okay, Jesus came to fulfill the law so a union could come of his sacrifice, in other words, his death, and the requirements to fulfill the law. Remember, the Bible says he came to fulfill the law. So that the grace, the manifestation of grace would be manifested in reconciliation. So that everything is reconciled back to the Father again. But this could not be done unless Christ paid the price. Does everybody get this? So Christ paid the price on the cross by fulfilling the law. Amen. He paid the price on the cross by his sacrifice so that this union could come together and manifest what we call grace. But it actually, grace is now manifesting the ministry of reconciliation, isn't it? So grace is associated with reconciliation in every area. Does everybody get this? Some of you might be thinking, what's this guy talking about? Get the tape. You'll get it. You'll find it, all the dots will come together, okay? So just hang tough. Don't lean on your own understanding. Could hurt you. In Matthew 5 and verse 17. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Just as Jesus speaking, what does he say? Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is... Well, hallelujah. Now, verse 19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's powerful. So what he's saying, listen, what I'm about to bring, right? What I'm about to bring, you cannot do on your own. You can't do on your own. That's why you need the Spirit of Christ. So that you're not longer relying on your righteousness to try and obey the Ten Commandments that were, because nobody could. Amen. That's why they had to do the sacrifices. He said, but in this, I'm bringing you a what? A new covenant. I'm bringing you the Spirit of Christ. I'm coming forth to bring the ministry of grace, which is reconciliation. Does everybody understand this? Okay. So our righteousness, the only way that our right, and he says your righteousness must go beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. It must be better than them. Well, the only way that you can do that is by the anointing of Christ. Does everybody get it? So righteousness exceeds only by his fulfilling. Jesus is fulfilling the law of the Ten Commandments and fulfilling all things of the Old Testament. And the anointing of Christ that God gives us, that anointing allows you to overcome anything that the devil will try to bring. You know, I can only share this with you. In certain areas, because we've been baptized in the Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ dwells with us, and we know all things. And we know that Jesus came to expose the devil, and we have dominion over all things and so forth. But you know what? You still have a free will. You still have a choice. And God will never interfere with that choice. And too many believers blame the devil for their choices. And that's just plumb crazy. Hello? You have the final say, not the devil. You make that choice, not the devil. And that's where we must take our responsibility, because people are blaming other people and the devil for their decisions they're making. And God has given you the authority to make the right decision. That's up to you. Amen? And the Bible says He always makes a way of escape, doesn't He? John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now the word believe means to what? Follow. Follow. So he's saying, if you're following me, now remember, that goes back to direction, doesn't it? If you're following my directions, you'll do greater works. In other words, you'll be able to reach more people than I could. Does everybody get it? Okay. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you what? Love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And he is the what? Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will what? Come to you. So he says, if you love me, you'll what? Obey me. You'll what? Obey me. Wow, there goes back to that direction again, isn't it? Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if what? If anyone, does everybody understand that? If anyone, anyone, desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? And follow me. Deny yourself. Now, I want to give you these three areas. You deny yourself of worldly lust. You pick up the cross, which means direction. The cross represents the what? Way. Amen? Which means direction. And I want you to understand something. Direction is what grace is. Because direction is God's grace. It gives you a plan, doesn't it? Is everybody with me? And he said, follow me. And he says, do the things Jesus did in his ministry. Live the life Jesus lived. So to deny yourself means from worldly lust. To take up your cross means get direction. And to follow me means do the things Jesus does. You know, everybody walks around with those little bands and said, what would Jesus do? The problem is they don't really see it. They just do whatever they want to do, and they don't really say, what would Jesus do? Why they're out there fornicating and doing everything else. Lying, stealing, cheating, and everything else. What would Jesus do? Hello? So remember, deny yourself from worldly lust. Take up your cross means direction. And follow me means do the things Jesus would do. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Now, before we get going, I want you to understand something again. When you cry out to God for mercy, what you're asking Him to do is acknowledge you. Lord, have mercy upon me. What you're doing is saying, please look at me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Amen? So when God looks upon you because you cried out for mercy, what He does is He sends forth grace. And grace is the plan of God, or the plan of escape from the wrath of God. Does everybody got that? Grace. So, you know, the ministry of grace is associated with reconciliation back to God. But once you're back to God, then there's a direction that you must walk. Has everybody got it? There's a direction. There's a guide. There's a way that you must. That's grace, isn't it? Because it's God's plan of escape for you, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. And verse 4, would you read it with me? And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit what? So it's a ministry of what? It's a ministry of the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? It's the ministry of the Spirit. Now you got the Spirit of grace, don't you? You have the Spirit of truth. Does everybody understand that? And you have the Holy Spirit. It's the ministry of the Spirit of Christ. Come on, everybody say it. It's the ministry of the Spirit of Christ. And in the ministry of the Spirit of Christ, there is truth and grace. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Now, the word condemnation means judgment to those who are in Christ. Wow, would that be a believer? Yes. Now, he's going to tell you, even though you're in Christ, okay, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, right? So if you're a believer, you're in Christ. The word believe means to follow. You're walking in Christ. Hallelujah, which is a representation of the Spirit of Christ. The anointed one is anointing. He says something very powerful. Who what? Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So I want you to understand something. A believer walking according to the flesh, there is judgment. A believer walking according to the Spirit, he's released from it. Do you understand that? So if you're a believer walking in the flesh, there will be judgment according to the rest of the world. Come on, y'all get this. Okay, let's go a little further. Verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is a representation of the law of the Spirit of Christ. In Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled where? In us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So let me share with you. If you are walking according to the flesh, you are under the law. If you are walking in the Spirit, you have fulfilled the law. Does everybody get it? That's where the deception is. With many believers, they think they just go out and do anything they want. And that's not what's happening. Because someone who says that they are a believer and is still walking according to the flesh will be judged according to the law of the Ten Commandments. And nobody can fulfill them. But if you are a believer that's walking according to the Spirit, there is no judgment according to the law. You are judged by your works. So everybody got this? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 5. Come on, read it with me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Does everybody see that? So we know that there is a law of the Spirit of Christ. This is not the letter. These are requirements of the Spirit. Do you understand that? In relationship. Hallelujah. Now go to verse 12. See, the reason why we're talking about this in the ministry of grace is because the ministry of grace is such an important and powerful ministry, but it's being misused. It's not being taught correctly. People are using the ministry of grace to go out and sin, and that's not what God directed the ministry of grace for. Has everybody got it? Okay, cool. And verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Hello. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. If you live in the flesh, you're going to die. and you're set and you walk and everything according to your life is associated with the flesh. Amen? Has everybody got it? Now, I want to share a couple things. Why Jesus came. I believe there's three important things why Jesus came. The first one is to expose the devil in his kingdom. The first reason why Jesus came was to expose the devil and his kingdom. Let me share this. Without that exposure of the devil and his kingdom, Jesus' death would have been in vain. So the first thing he came was to expose the devil and his kingdom, or else his death would have been in vain. The second thing he came for was, of course, to bring truth. Amen? Truth is knowledge. Knowledge is the ability to fight and defend. Why? Because they are weapons. The second thing is truth. Jesus came to bring the what? Truth. And truth is knowledge. And knowledge is the ability to fight and defend. Because they are weapons. There's something else truth gives. Purpose. When you know the truth, you have a purpose. So the first thing that Jesus came for was to expose the devil and his kingdom. The second one was to bring truth, which is knowledge. And knowledge is the ability to fight and defend. They are weapons of God. And truth gives you a purpose. The third thing, are you all ready? Is he brought grace, didn't he? Now grace, I want to share with you a couple things about grace here. Because we're talking about the ministry of grace. Grace means acceptance. You are accepted. It means reconciliation. It means salvation. Right? Grace is a representation of acceptance, reconciliation, and salvation. Grace represents the plan of escape from God's wrath or judgment. It is a plan. Grace is the plan that God gives you to escape. If you are not, remember, it's the spirit of grace, isn't he? Amen? So if you're not obeying and walking according to the spirit, being led by the spirit of grace, then you're in the flesh. And you're under the law. No matter whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or not. The wages of sin is death, isn't it? Amen? Regardless of what. So we see here grace is a representation of acceptance. You've been accepted. You've been reconciled. And you've been granted salvation. It also represents the plan of escape from God's wrath or judgment. It's an opportunity now. Now listen to this. It's an opportunity to co-labor with God and gain favor of God depending on your cooperation. Depending on your cooperation with his plan or his will. How much you cooperate with it determines how much grace you get. It is the opportunity to co-labor with God and gain favor. And this is all depend upon your cooperation or your obedience to his will. Grace is also the opportunity to pardon. Grace is a representation, an opportunity to pardon. That's why grace came. God gave us an opportunity to what? Be pardoned. So, I mean, understand that. Be forgiven. Go to Romans 1. Grace is a representation of acceptance, reconciliation, salvation. It is a plan of escape from God's wrath or judgment. It is an opportunity to co-labor with God and gain favor of God depending upon your cooperation or your obedience with his plan or his will. It's also an opportunity to be pardoned. Amen? Praise God. Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to what? Salvation for everyone who what? Believes. What's the word believe mean? Follows. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from what? faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Wow. The just shall live by what? Faith. Go to Ephesians 2. It is the power of God to salvation. I mean, this is all a part of the ministry of grace? Yes. There's a lot more than I thought. Yeah, there is. It's not just, oh, hi, come on in. Jesus will do everything for you. Yes, he has. He's done it all. But now you got to cooperate, don't you? Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse, oh, glory, 8. Oh, praise God. Oh, this is good. Let's go back to verse 4. Welcome to Tuesday Night Live. But God, who is rich in mercy, what's mercy again? Acknowledge me. Help. That's right, Mom. Here I am, Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were idiots, I mean dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by what? Grace, you have been saved. Now, what's grace? God's plan of escape. It's an opportunity to be pardoned. But I want you to look at this here really close. Let's read this again. It says, by grace you have been what? You see, it's past, isn't it? S-A-V-E-D. It didn't say by grace you are constantly being saved. It says by grace you have been saved. So, the pardon is there. That's grace. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Good. Now don't go do it again. Now you turn around and you begin to get in the grace, which is the plan of God to what? Escape. Good. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now he's talking about his pardoning. For by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, anything you did did not bring forth grace. There wasn't a work you could have done that brought forth grace. Jesus paid the price that grace could come forth. That's what he's talking about. This does not mean after you've been saved. It does not mean that. Now, verse 10, watch this. For we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Not bad works, not fornication, not adultery, not drug abuse, not lying, not stealing. Those aren't good works, are they? Which God prepared beforehand that we should what? That we should what? That we should what? Walk in them. Walk in what? In grace. What is that? The plan of escape. By grace you've been saved in faith. Why? Because it was faith that allowed you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. By faith. You repented. You asked for his forgiveness because the pardoning grace was there. You have been saved. Thank you for the grace of God. Now, you must walk. He just said, now you must what? Walk. Walk in what? The grace of God. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because the grace of God is a plan of escape. By what? Faith. To do what? Good works. James 2. Praise you, Lord. You know how many people need to be here tonight? You know where people are not? Plenty. Wonder who told them that. Their feet hurt today from work. Oh, I got to work late to make more money. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Is everybody there? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have what? Oh, are you getting this? So you've been saved by grace in what? Faith. Oh. So there wasn't anything you could do that got you saved. What you had to do was repent. That got you saved. Past tense, it's over and done with. You're saved. Glory to God. Now you must walk by faith, which is walking in the plan of God, which is telling you it's a plan of escape. Now you're walking in the plan of God. By what? Faith. Now he tells you what faith is. He says, all right, who turned my page? No, he didn't say that. Okay, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith, now check this out, save him? You know what? I want to say hell no, you know? You know? You get it? Can grace save? I mean, can faith save you? Hell no! Now, don't get religious on me, all right? Hell is not a bad word. It's a place. Glory. Can faith save you? I'm not saying it again. It's fine. Everybody's got it imprinted in their mind now. Everybody go now. Let's go to verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled. I see people do that. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Wow. Yeah, man, I got faith. I've been saved 14 years ago. Haven't done anything yet. Yep. Still go to the bar every Friday night. Still wake up with a hangover every Monday morning. Yeah, well, I only fornicate on Saturday night and I repent every Monday morning. That's not faith. Because faith says it's associated with works. What are you working out? Your salvation. Whoa. Oh, but I can do anything. I've been saved 45 years. Haven't cast out a devil. Oh, yeah, I don't go to church. I read my Bible once in a while. But I got a load of videos, man. I can tell you about my videos. Hello. From, you know. Praise God, I won't go there. But they're not nice videos. Oh, glory. I'm telling you, there's a lot of believers that want to show you their collection. I got a video for them. It's called 23 Minutes in Hell. They won't lie again after they see that video. They won't tell you something without fulfilling it. They won't steal. They won't cheat. And they won't fornicate. I'll tell you that. When they see that video, 23 Minutes in Hell. I hope, anyways. As long as you got a good copy. Praise God. Or you may feel like you're in hell while you're watching it, you know? You may even act like you just came from there, you know? Glory to God. Okay, where were you at anyways? Glory. Okay, are you ready now? In verse 18, would you all read that with me? But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Glory. By my what? My obedience to the Spirit of God, walking in grace, which is the plan of escape. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, oh foolish idiot, oh man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works, not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the message and sent them out to another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Wow, that is so powerful. Why? Because in Philippians chapter 2, glory to God. Oh, man. We can do this in Jesus' name. In Philippians chapter 2, is everybody there? Verse 12. Glory. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you got to work out your own salvation? Yes, remember, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you were saved. Now you must work out your own salvation. That's called grace. Okay. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his what? Good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yow. Does everybody see that? Praise God. So you must work out your own salvation, because grace is God's plan of escape and his predestined will for your life. We must be led by the Spirit of Christ, who is the Spirit of grace. Has everybody got it? Good. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 7. Oh, this is good. Praise God. Is everybody there? For he who has died has been freed from sin. It says he who has died. You might as well put next to it, he who has died to self. You can write on your Bible. Nobody will yell at you. Man, I don't touch my Bible. I can tell. Things got dust in every page. Is everybody there? For he who has died to himself has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, verse 12. Are you ready? Better highlight this. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now, so he's saying, if sin has dominion over you, what are you under then? Law. But if you have dominion over sin, you are under what? Grace. Do y'all get this? I'm telling you, people twist this word around and try to bring that garbage out that once saved, always saved, that Jesus received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and trampled the ministry of grace without no repercussions. And that ain't true. Glory to God. I want you to understand something. The law he talks about is the old plan. The Spirit of Christ, the grace, is the new plan. Now, he said that the old plan is obsolete. So why go underneath the old plan? Does everybody get it? See, we're in the new plan now. Glory to God. Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Yes, by grace I've been saved. This is my girlfriend Lucia. Yes, we live together. And there's a little boo-boo and such and such and such and such and our dog. And yes, yes, we have three kids and we love Jesus. Married? No, we don't believe in marriage. We're under grace. Well, who's grace? You mean you got somebody else in there too? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews 10. Well, come out from under grace, would you please? That's the wrong grace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're not religious? Okay. Here's our two children, Jezebel and Ahab. Ah, glory. Yes, these are our twins. And we produce pagan offsprings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and get a drink, will you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. Whew. Sure got on here. Would you all read this with me, please? For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So understand this. When you sin willfully, there is no sacrifice. You're open. You die, you go to hell. You are not under grace there. Do you understand that? So he says, in other words, he says there's no more sacrifice. That means you are not covered, because sacrifice represents the blood. So if you willfully sin, amen, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Now, so you've been saved, right? And you received the knowledge of truth, so you've been walking in grace. You've been obeying, you know, the way of escape. And now you choose to disregard it. There is no covering for you. If you died right then, you'd be in hell. Now let's go to verse 27. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Now you're an adversary. Did we get it? Anyone who has rejected, here we go again, Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Wow. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. So he's not talking about unbelievers here. He's talking to people that are saying they are believers. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Does everybody see this? Insulted the Spirit of grace. In other words, they've insulted God's plan of escape. They've insulted it. They've rejected it. There's no covering now. Broken covenant. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 7. Now we know that you have to go back and repent, don't you? To get back underneath that covering again. But the Bible says that when you broke covenant, everything you stored up in heaven is gone. So you've been a Christian 34 years, and you break covenant, everything's gone. But thank God you can start over again. Amen? You know, it's amazing. I've been seeing certain things of people who preach there is no hell. Blows my mind. You know? And it's amazing, the ones that preach that there is a hell invite people into it. Because they believe that once they're saved, they're always saved. Because they're under grace. And it's still the blind leading the blind. That's a misuse of the ministry of grace. And it's one of the most important ministries, because it's the beginning of a believer's life. It is important. And it is misused. Matthew 7. Is that where I said to go? We may be a few minutes later. Y'all are all right with that? Not much. I only got 26 more? No, about 4 or 5 more. Matthew 7. Oh, man. In verse 21, would you read it with me? Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the what? He who does the what? The will of my Father in heaven. Now, what is the will of the Father? That's grace, isn't it? It's the plan of what? Escape. Many will say to me that day, "Lord, Lord, hey, what's shaking? Come on, you saw me prophesy in your name. I've cast out devils in your name, and I've done many wonders in your name." Come on, you know I use the word of God, so but then when I close doors, I abuse my family, I drink, fornicate, lie, and do all the other, I cheat, I don't pay any tithes, even though I tell people I pay tithes. Do you understand that? Yeah, I pretend like I'm somebody. But I'm a liar and a thief. And I practice lawlessness and I trample the spirit of grace. Do you understand this? And then he will, and then I will declare to them, says the Lord, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. I mean, that's serious, isn't it? That's serious. The ministry of grace is to disciple. It's to disciple. What are you discipling? You're teaching individuals the will of God. Why? To obey His work is working out your salvation. Amen? By obedience, you're working out your salvation, aren't you? Obedience to the will of God allows you to work out your salvation. Of course, you're working out your salvation with who? The Spirit of grace. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Go to James 4. Oh, to God be the glory. James 4. Glory, glory. Is everybody there? And verse 4, let's read it. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore makes him be a friend of the world makes himself a what? Enemy of God. So can a believer become an enemy of God? Amen. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? He's talking about believers here, man. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. In other words, those who reject his will, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, gives favor to the humble, doesn't he? Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Go to verse 17. Therefore, does everybody see it? To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is what? It is what? It is sin. And the wages of sin is what? Death. Wow. Romans 6. Almost there. Ministry of the Spirit of grace. Glory. Romans 6 and verse 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of all of those things is what? Death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to what? Holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So you will have a fruit of holiness. You'll know if there's a fruit of holiness. That's how you know if you're walking in truly in the grace of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Galatians 5. So the fruit of walking in the Spirit, or walking according to the grace, the plan of God, is going to be holiness, isn't there? You're not going to be out there, man. You're not going to be lying, fornicating, cheating, stealing, and all this other stuff. Manipulating, using. Because you'll die. You know, and like I said, I've heard people preach that there is no hell. You know, if somebody was uncertain that there wasn't, if they were uncertain that there wasn't a hell, I'd rather preach that there was one anyways. If somebody was uncertain about salvation stuff, I'd preach that you can lose your salvation. Does everybody understand that? I'd rather preach that you can go to hell than you can't. If I made a mistake, I'm still getting in. But if I didn't, there's a lot of blood on my hands. I mean, you know, that's what blows my mind. If you really have the reverence to God, how can you even preach that you're always saved? How could you take that chance to say you can go out and fornicate and still make it home? It says who what you commit, who you serve to, you become a slave to. How can, there is no fear or reverence to God. It's lost. It's all about religion. It's all about intellect. It's about, I'm a such and such. I belong to this denomination or that denomination or non-denomination. Still a denomination. How about I belong to Christ? And I reverence and fear the King of glory and the Master of all creation. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. I say then walk in the what? Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, that you desire. Does everybody understand that? So here we go back again. If you're walking according to the spirit, you're under grace. If you're walking according to the flesh, you're under law. Everybody got it? The ministry of grace is to reconcile you to the Father, disciple you with the truth, and bring you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit with power. Has everybody got it? So you don't do the things that your flesh desires. Now there are those who are out with the ministry of grace and salvation, but they are not leading individuals into the power. Now listen, because if you go according to the desires of your flesh, it will bring you under condemnation and judgment of the law, and you will fall from grace. The plan of God leads us to salvation and complete redemption. Does everybody understand that? That's why you must work out your own salvation. 2 Peter 3. Oh, then one more. Then you can go home and have popcorn. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. So if you're fornicating and so forth, can you be spot and blameless? No. It says be found by him. Remember, he says he's going to come as a thief in the night. So if you're a believer and you're out there using, boozing, and visiting, are you spotless? Oh man, your garments are filthy. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable twist people twist to their own destruction of their own interpretation, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace, hello, which is the what? Plan of God, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. So we are to be steadfast, immovable, and grow in the grace of Christ. I want to close at 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. The ministry of grace. We can look at this in a totally different way now, I hope. Is everybody there? Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be what? Serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we see we are stewards of grace. Everybody see that? If anyone speaks, let them speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let them do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now be good stewards of the grace of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed for revelation knowledge. I pray, Lord, that this seed will be protected by the blood, that will grow and bear fruit for your glory. They'll bring conviction. They'll bring healing. They'll bring a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of will. They will bring the fear of God in each and every one of us. And it'll be reverence to the kingdom of glory and its desire to obey all the way home. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless.